This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
And you picked a fruit salad. That's interesting. Which one? What food out of every food available? Fruit salad.
It's healthy.
Ambrosia salad is not healthy. I just looked at it. Is that really like whipped cream binding it together? That's the white stuff?
It's either whipped cream or like heavy cream or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Or yogurt. That's crazy.
See, that's healthy, baby. That's fruit and yogurt. What's up, guys? I'm Tahir Moore.
I'm Patrick Cloud.
This is another episode of Damn, Internet. You scary.
Yeah.
We finally got Patrick Cloud back in the States, guys.
Man.
He stopped over in North Korea for eating on the sidewalk without the proper license. And he's finally back, man. What's up, brother? How was the trip, man?
It was good. You know, it wasn't North Korea. It was Japan. But that was actually against the law to, like, eat and walk. You have to.
Really?
Yeah, you gotta be wherever you at when you eat, or you can like duck off in like a little 7-Eleven. But a lot of times you gotta ain't no eating and walking, which is crazy.
So wait, are there street vendors?
Yeah, there are. There's like a huge culture of like skewers. Mm-hmm. Like skewers are really big there. There's a lot of good food. You would love it. 7-Eleven and they got something called Lawson out there, has really good food. So you can eat it, you can grab some stuff and eat it really quickly, but for the most part, people just take their food and their trash home. There's no trash cans.
Yeah,
now that's the most frustrating thing. Yeah, but it's so clean. You don't get it. you just don't understand.
Remember that part, that it was very difficult. It's like the trash cans are playing hide and seek.
Ain't none.
They're the champions of hide and seek.
You get back to the hotel, you just got receipts and wrappers and stuff all in your pockets. But nah, beautiful place, man. I can't wait to go back.
They just recently brought over the Japanese egg salad sandwich to 7-Eleven.
Did they?
Mm-hmm, on the milk bread.
Really?
Yeah. So it's in that little refrigerator section. I saw a video about it, and then I went to a 7-Eleven. I was like, oh shit, they really do have it. It's right here. But I ain't trusting pre-packed and pre-made egg salad.
That's what I said too. I get it, because like they change everything out every single day. I don't know if Americans are gonna do that. Plus, I don't know if it's made in Japan and then shipped over. That's a little much for the egg.
That's a lot of much. I'm good on that one. Unless they got somebody over here whipping it up, how they whip it up over there, I'm
not going to lie. I felt kind of gross, though. I bought one at the airport because there's 7-Elevens everywhere.
Yeah.
And then I took it. That was Monday. I took it from Japan to America. So it was Monday again out here. And then I ate it Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. You playing with death, my boy.
But I mean, it was on the plane for a nasty amount of time, but then it was right into another fridge and I ate it, and it was delicious. That's the best thing they have to me.
Hey man, listen, I hear you. It just sounds like you're playing with death, though, my boy. And since you're doing questionable behavior, Hippie has equipped us with a couple more questions. So I'm just rattle off a couple of them right now. One word you choose. If you could only speak one word all day.
Excuse me.
That's two words.
Does that count? Does that count?
That's two words. That's two words. You only get
one. It's not even like a phrase. You can't even get like a phrase.
One word.
Damn. Sorry.
I see how sorry can work for you need somebody to repeat something or you bump into them or the actual use of sorry. How would you use sorry for yes and I understand or sure?
Okay, so this is perfect. Okay, so in Japan, I knew how to say two things. One was arigato gozaimasu, which is like, thank you very much. And then it's sumimasen. Sumimasen was the main thing that I've said the entire time because it's like, oh, my bad. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be a bother. But you could say that to like get somebody's attention too. So it can be like a hey. Then you can do a lot of basic things by pointing and just nodding and nonverbal stuff. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, you can say it like, okay, sorry. Didn't mean to bother you. So I feel like I can get, and you could use it with all the like, excuse me, get, let me get by you, all that. I feel like that's one thing that you could say for
that,
most
that, everything. That might work there, but in this situation, I think we're referring to here in the States.
No, that's what I'm saying. I already communicated with a lot of people without
you,
the language.
So you think being that polite and saying sorry all day in the States is going to get you anywhere besides robbed?
No, because I mean, I think that I could do everything I did out there by the bare minimum and just acting like I don't speak English.
I think I'm a pig shit.
You can't do anything with that.
Yes, you can. Shit is it's an alliteration almost like nigga or bitch, right? And it's all in the inflection. So nigga works in like nigga.
Like don't that's, that's not really communicating. That's just like emotional hashtags. Cause you could just be like nigga or nigga. But you can't communicate like that.
Absolutely can with nigga and shit and bitch. Ask me anything, I can use either one of those.
Do you know what time it is?
Nigga.
See, that doesn't help me.
I just do this. I hold my phone up. Like, you, I know you got a phone, nigga.
Then you didn't need nigga. You could have just showed the phone.
I only got one word. No, I'm not showing you what time it is. I'm like, I know you got a phone. That was my response with the nigga.
All right, where's my gate? I need a gate. I need to get to my gate.
Nigga.
See, but you're doing other stuff. The nigga's not helping, though.
All right, wait, let me try shit. Give me 7 minutes so I can try shit.
Well, I need directions to the Staples Center.
Shit.
In all three of those, you just couldn't help me. Those were just all non-useful niggas.
But I communicated effectively. You understood that I couldn't help you.
Now, sorry covers all those.
Okay, like, okay. Let me try. All right, here we go. You know what time the next bus come?
Sorry.
Okay. What's good to eat around here?
Sorry.
Somewhere
it's a way out.
You can't help me either, is what you're saying.
Sorry is at least me leaning towards like I can't, but my bad. You're just shit. Like not everybody speaks nigga. I get this shit has a lot of different ways you can say it, but it's not as universal as like sorry. I can't believe how useful the word sorry or excuse me is.
I never would have thought sorry, but you make a compelling point. All right, let me get one more. Let me see. Let's see. Where are they at? What food represents your personality?
Probably nachos.
You gotta explain that one, baby boy.
Super delicious. Looks great when it comes out. A lot of great bites on the top. And then you get to a couple chips that don't have that much on it, and you're like, oh. So there is some boring stuff there, you know, because, you know, humans, right?
Right.
But, that first part is that those first maybe like six layers, it's pretty mm-hmm. good. And then okay. there's like regular stuff, you know.
I think I would go with ambrosia salad.
Wow.
There's a lot of shit that's thrown together that shouldn't work, but somehow still does.
What is that, the one with the feta cheese and the tomatoes? No.
No. Ambrosia salad has like, never had it in a while, but I think it's got like it's whipped cream.
What?
Marshmallows, peaches, some cherries, like random slithers of coconut.
Oh, this stuff. Is this good?
I've had it before and I liked it. It was like one of them things that you could only get at the deli in the supermarkets. So we didn't have it often. You know what I'm saying? The alternative was just canned fruit cocktail. But if mom salad. Brought home some ambrosia salad, she was in a good mood. She might have got paid a little extra, or maybe somebody paid her back, so she got a little extra walking money. You know what I'm saying? It looks disgusting. I'm not gonna mm-hmm. hold it, right?
But okay, that fits.
Yep.
Looks disgusting, but it's like, oh, you kind of cool.
Hey, I tell you, baby, it's a beautiful surprise.
The question was,
nachos look delicious. You'd be like, yeah. You said that fits your personality. You
and they are
delicious looking nigga.
I mean, why was I going to pick a disgusting food? And you picked a fruit salad. That's interesting. Which one? What food out of every food available? Fruit salad.
It's healthy.
Ambrosia salad is not healthy. I just looked at it. Is that really like whipped cream binding it together? That's the white stuff?
It's either whipped cream or like heavy cream or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Or yogurt. That's yeah. crazy.
See, that's healthy, baby. That's fruit and yogurt.
There's no. I'm
getting two different groups on the periodic. Period food pyramid.
It got marshmallows in it though.
You gotta add a little razzle dazzle. That's like, you know what I'm saying, when you go to the search bar in porn and you type in POV ebony creamy and then you throw in missing limb. Just a little razzle dazzle.
Wow. I think there's a limit on how many words you can use in a porn site.
No.
Search. It feels shit. It should be like two things. If it's like seven, oh, no. It's way too specific.
My shit look like a Chat GPT prompt when I type in what I'm looking for.
Do they get that specific when you search? Yeah, are the hashtags like, that deep?
It's like when you are like, if you ever did an ad for Instagram or you putting up a video back in the day when we used to put the hashtags on, like you want to you get a specific. Or narrow it down as much as possible. So you like it's going to search all the videos that might have that. So now you're getting more specific. You know what I mean?
Hang on, I'm gonna do it. Let me pull up Pornhub real quick. Pornhub.com. Okay, so like how? So because remember the basically the categories are like one, two words.
So, yeah, but this is what I would go. I would do amateur. Right. And then if it's a POV day, I'm gonna do POV. Then you can put ebony, right? And then you can put wet or creamy, whichever your heart desires for that day. And then you could throw something in like little person or midget or missing limb or
this
unicorn.
Is the most I've ever written. Amateur, ebony, wet, booty. What's something random? Long neck.
Missing limb, extra toe.
That's real. I'm on some type of list now. Oh. Wait, I got to take my glasses off. I don't want nobody in the reflections. I don't see no missing limbs, but this is horrible. Yep, that's pretty horrible. Oh, my God. I didn't even ask for that.
So I got this idea. I got this idea for a new social media platform, right? Yeah, it's called Porn Roast, right?
What kind of roast are you talking about?
So it's like when you see a crazy porn video on Twitter or Pornhub, you could stitch that video to make it funny. Because I've seen some wild ass porn videos.
Reaction video?
Yes, right? Because I saw this one with this dude who was he's racking this chick down from the back, but he had his Tim. He had I don't know if it was Tim, but I know he had a shoe on. He had a shoe foot on her head while he ramming her. And her head sideways, and it's a goddamn shoe on her head while she taking it. And I was like, bro, how is nobody talking about this? Bro?
Ain't that the nigga from New York who keeps the shoes on and a New York hat?
And like I haven't seen a couple of them. This is the one, but when I made the video about it yesterday, people was like, yeah, that was the dude with the Tims. And then somebody was like, no, it was another dude with some shoes on. So evidently it's a couple of them floating around there like that.
That's insane. Shout out to the porn stars. I feel like porn stars keep a lot of niggas out of jail. Probably more than the police. You think about how crazy niggas get, like that search. Bro, I just did.
Yeah, that shit is insane, bro. Hey man, to each his own, man. But I will say this, man: if you want to perform like a porn star, you know what I mean. You want to ensure your third legacy. You know what I'm saying? If you're one of those people that tends to use their penis like a kickstand, Blue Chew can help you continue or achieve that level of legendary status, okay? Last time I took a Blue Chew, my dick got sponsored by an energy drink company and refused to only do missionary, all right? We are out here saying it was bad for the brand. Extreme positions only. That's what happens when you're taking the Blue Chew, okay? Sometimes I take Blue Chew just to stand easier, you know what I'm saying? So I have something to lean on. All right, this ain't a supplement. It's an erection resurrection. Bars. You understand what I'm saying? Guys, this isn't just about performance. This is about legacy, your third legacy. Give her group chat something to talk about. You know what I'm saying? Let them know you laying it down when you get it up. That's what I'm talking about. Nothing makes you more of a legend than a little Blue Chew. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Now, listen, guys. We've been big supporters of the brand for years. I've been subscribed to Blue Chew for years. Still, they just sent this one. You know what I'm saying? Your boy stay strapped up with the chew on deck. You know what I'm talking about? And you know, if we're telling you about it, we got a special deal for our listeners. As always, you get your first month free of Blue Chew. Just use the promo code DIYS at checkout and pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Join the Blue Chew's mission to upgrade humanity one thrust at a time. Head on over to BlueChew.com for details and safety information. And big thanks to Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
Third legacy, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. That's pretty good. Was that Blue Chew's or was that yours?
That was Blue Chew, man. They send over the wildest copy.
They got some writers.
Hey, what if Trevor is writing for them? What if Trevor is charged with writing there? That felt like a Trevor
Wallace.
Yeah,
that is very Trevor coded.
Yeah, it felt like open it to Stiff Sock. Shout out to Trevor Wallace, man. So we got a couple crazy stories. I actually wanted to start, if we can, with the one about the diver, because I thought that was pretty crazy, and it just goes to show how real pressure and the bends and all of that is. So the deepest dive in the world in 2014, Ahmad Gaber set the world record for the deepest scuba dive, 332 meters. That's approximately 1,090 feet into the Red Sea. The dive only took 15 minutes to descend, but it required 13 hours to ascend due to mandatory decompression stops, crucial for preventing serious pressure-related injuries. It was a feat that nearly took a decade of preparation involving training, technical planning, and conditioning to survive extreme depth. I just don't think I ever want to do... Even in a submarine, that would be daunting, right? Like, it would be scary just descending that deep. But just out there, when your body... Just your body. He had on like a lot of air tanks because he had to be able to stay down there that long. Bro, that's scary as hell, bro.
15 minutes versus, what was it, 30 hours?
13 hours to get up.
So why doesn't pressure work the same both ways? Why is it straight for us to go down, but it takes us forever to come up? That's insane. And what, if we don't, our lungs would bust? Absolutely not.
Man, listen, that is the way of life. You know, it'll take you 15 minutes to smash that chick and she get pregnant. Now you got to deal with that shit for 18 years.
This is a prime example of why the ocean is the scariest place on earth, because it's like, we can do the whole thing where it's like it's dark and there's monsters and stuff, but like you could drown, the pressure can kill you, you can get sucked, like there's so many other elements that can kill you that it's not worth it at all. Man,
ocean is just, it's a wild place, man. Are you familiar with the sunfish?
Mm-hmm, that giant one?
That giant, weird-looking, fucking flat, dense-ass fish, has the brain the size of a walnut, can feel pain but can't do anything about it. So a lot of times, sunfish just get eaten by other animals, but they don't taste well. They're like rubbery, so they'll just take a bite and just like, I want this shit. Niggas don't finish their food. Which means that a lot of times they
finish me
by parasites. So they can have up to 20 different parasites, different species of parasites on them. And then when they get to the top of the water, because they don't have like a traditional fin, they got that small little rudder, so they're not great swimmers. They'll just end up floating and they'll either die from being burnt to death by the sun. But when they're up there, the seagulls take their time to eat the parasites off of them. It's one of the most useless.
That's why they're called the sunfish.
Now, I don't know if that's the reasoning for it, but I will say this: they've lasted longer than most of all species on the earth, simply by doing nothing.
That's a stupid.
And they can't close their mouth, so they just have to hope something goes into their mouth. They can't chew because of the way their bones are, that their bone structure is. So they just go around like this.
Well, that's just filtering. A bunch of aquatic stuff does that.
Yeah, but like they can also hunt. Like some fish can't. They're not good swimmers. They're not good at evading. They're not good at chasing. They just, like you say, filter. They just be going through and hoping for squid or plankton and shit like that. Just useless.
I feel like, ew, God, not the sideways mouth. That looked crazy.
Look, bit off. Shark just bit him, was like, nah, I don't want this. This nasty.
I don't know. That looked like a bite that was enjoyed. That was a big ass bite. That didn't seem like a sample.
But the thing, if it was enjoyed, they would have finished it. Because he can't swim fast away. You know what I mean? Like, it had to be gross. Like biting at the liver. It was like, ugh.
That's crazy. I don't know. I feel like of all the jobs that AI can take over, I feel like diving is up there. I get it. People love doing it, and it's a magical world and stuff. Man, send a machine down there. We do not need to be down there. I would much rather just remote control it and then be like, right. Ooh, look at all this footage. Like, forget that. Don't put no people down there. That's crazy. And then they got it. And then you have to sit there as an operator for 30 hours, just making sure this nigga come up, what, like a foot at a time? Hell no. Nah. Put a machine down there. I'm good.
But see, but then I get what you're saying, right? From a time and a safety aspect, but humans are curious by nature, and we are, especially the men, we are conquerors, right? It's in us. So we are always striving to break and set records. And we thrive on curiosity. So motherfuckers want to know if I could do it. Can it be done?
Ego. I mean, we know that us going down there and touching stuff can kill off a bunch of stuff. Like if I have a drone and I fly it over a mountain that I don't feel like climbing, my curiosity is good. I don't need a jetpack. Send that nigga over, give me a screen, and I'll be like, oh, that's what's over there. It's the same for the ocean.
I just feel like as humans, like you said, there's one, there's ego, right? Then there's that conquering spirit that we have. But then there's also that gratification that you get from accomplishing something you set out to do, something that maybe no one else has done. Like even when I jog my first mile, like nonstop, and then when I ran that same mile and I cut my time down by 3 minutes, bro, I was so proud of myself. Like, and that's just a small feat, you know what I mean? So I can't imagine how that guy must have felt when he finally did make it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same as Mount Everest. Like, niggas just go up there and they're like, I did it. I get it, for sure. Personal, all that stuff. I'm just saying it makes no sense. I'm just saying send a robot up there because there's actually stuff to study over there. Mount Everest, I can see it. That's a personal accomplishment. I did it. We already know what's up here. I did it, you know? But, like, the ocean, it didn't even say what that dude found. He just went down there and was like, I dove the farthest. Niggas, so send a machine down there and let's find some shit. I don't care. James Cameron did it too and then wrote a movie. It's like, nigga, that's the bar has been raised.
Let me ask you this, because I love Naked and Afraid and Alone and shit like that. Let's say you did Naked and Afraid. 21 days on this very challenging landscape. Dry, hot in the daytime, cold at night. Finding food has been a struggle for 21 days. Getting fresh water, boiling it has been a struggle. Starting a fire has been a struggle. You come home. What's that first day look like? After you guys sleep, like, what are you eating? What are you doing? Are you going anywhere? Who do you want to see?
So this is after I completed it.
Yeah, after you completed it.
That first meal is gonna be crazy. Cause like, how long did you say it was?
21 days. 21 days.
Okay, so that's not. You think you would get sick eating too? Like, you probably get sick eating too crazy.
Yeah, probably. But I know what I'm destroying first.
Though. What?
Yeah. Oh, what? Man, double cheeseburger.
You don't think that'll make you sick?
Huh?
You don't think that'll make you sick?
I think it depends on where you go to. Like, I probably wouldn't do McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? I would go somewhere that has real meat, you know what I mean? That's known for it, which is crazy because I feel like Five Guys would almost make your stomach hurt too because it's so greasy, but so heavy. But it's real though. I want something I can really sink my teeth into, and a burger just hits differently when you want to sink your teeth into
burger's
something.
A good one.
Yeah. Burger's a good one. Steaks are good, but like, you want to just like, only a burger satisfies that.
I would say a burrito. I think I would do a burrito. Mm. I feel like burrito is safe in the middle. It's delicious, but it's also like, I don't know if it would make me as sick.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Burrito is a good one. I didn't think about that. Burritos is something that you could definitely sink your teeth into, but I think I'm still have to stick with that burger. Chat, what about y'all? 21 hours, days on the island. You come back. What's the first meal? What's the first? I want to know. I think burgers over burritos, but I'm interested to hear what y'all got to say. This was an interesting story. This was about a guy who became an actor, right? He's been in movies with
crazy
a lot of people, and then it came to find out that he was the biggest villain in real life. So Hong Kong actor Michael Chan is well known for his top triad gangster roles in martial arts movies. It was later discovered that he was actually the number two boss in the 14K triad. Before becoming a Hong Kong film icon, Michael Chan, Y-Man, had served in the city's prison system and police force. Only later did it come to light that Chan had deep ties to the 14K triad, even admitted that he was once the group's number two man during his control of the Seen Chow Shoes vice scene before the 1997 handover. He has supporting roles in Jackie Chan movies, Rumble in the Bronx, as well as Thunderbolt and The Protector. He also popped up in The Medallion and Rob B. Hood, I don't even know. That movie sounds crazy.
You think that nigga was scaring himself into some of these roles? Like, if you recognize that nigga, he gets the role. Can you imagine that? Like, you, this is for gangster number one, and you recognize the dude as a triad leader?
Yeah.
Oh no. It said they found out later, which is actually even better.
Yeah. He did a good job of hiding it. Can you imagine when he go back to be like, yo, they don't even know that you really about that life. He be like, I know, man. It's so different on set, man. They got crafty people bringing us food. I don't actually have to kill anybody.
That is crazy. The triads were having a meeting like, we about to go kill this nigga tomorrow. Well, probably not nigga, but like, we about to go kill this person tomorrow. He's like, nah, I got an audition. Or like, I got a script reading. Like, damn, are you in a movie?
at a table. Yeah, actually I am. I didn't want to tell you guys. I thought you'd give me shit. No, man, that's fucking awesome. And doing cheers to him.
He should have been in a Rush Hour. I wonder if they only because all the shit named was Chinese, right? Like those were right. Chinese movies. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that would have been found out if it was like in Rush Hour or something.
Ah, yeah, that would have been crazy. That would have been crazy. You know, Rush Hour, they had a couple things pop up. The counterfeit money that they had, I think, on Rush Hour 2 was so like real life that the cops rolled up on them on set to like make sure that they weren't like using actual counterfeit money and trying to pass it off after the movie. Like they had to collect all the movie, everything had, I mean, all the money, everything had to be accounted for. It was
they checked the counterfeit to make sure it wasn't counterfeit.
They checked it to make sure that like people weren't trying to pass it off as real money, like this counterfeit. Like, you know, how people like, yeah. It was crazy.
That's crazy. It seemed like they could have just called somebody like a line producer or something. That seemed super unnecessary.
Because that was the one where they were in Vegas, I think. They were supposed to be in Vegas, yeah. In the casino one. That's insane, bro.
Was it? Oh, yeah, because the first one was at the Red Dragon. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That one was at in L.A.
Great movies. Yeah. I can't believe Jackie Chan didn't think they were funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He came out. He said he didn't get it. Because the whole joke was like black people versus Chinese people. The difference. Yeah. He said that he'd shot it, and he was just like, that sucked. And then it became this huge thing. And he was like, I didn't even know it was funny. It's like, damn, Jackie Chan was really clueless in that movie.
That was a great surprise for him, man. I know he was like, man, but he doesn't seem like the type that really be splurging though. Like he probably just like bought better gym equipment or a new facility to go flip in and shit like that. I wonder what Jackie Chan like, wow, he balls out.
He's one of those people who are like famous for not giving their kids money. Yeah. They're like, maybe you better start learning how to fight or something.
He's still working. I loved him in The Foreigner, even though like they portrayed him as this older man, but he was still kicking ass, bro.
I had to slow him down a little bit. I like saying like older action stars, they get the same amount of action, but the scenes, like the action scenes be like, they don't do too much.
Yeah, man. It's
like smarter choreography.
You got to take care of yourself, guys. And that's why our next sponsor is amazing, and we're super appreciative of Bubs Naturals. Okay, aging sucks, right? It just does. You get older, you can't do a lot of the same stuff. I'm not jumping down no stairs no more. You know, you walking down a staircase or a stairwell, and this is the last two you're gonna jump. I'm not doing that because one, I don't want to pay for an ambulance just in case something happens, and also I'm just not as old, I mean, young as I used to. But that's where Bubs Naturals collagen peptides come in. Starting in your mid-20s, your body naturally produces less collagen every single year. And collagen is the protein that kind of holds everything together. It's literally the glue of the body. Well, with Bubs, you can help restore your collagen levels closer to what your body naturally had in its youth. That means stronger joints, healthier hair and nails, smoother skin, and faster recovery. That is the big one for your boy, that faster recovery. And it's super easy to use. You just mix Bubs in with your coffee, huh? I do that every day. Your smoothie or juice each morning. It's tasteless, odorless, and dissolves instantly. So no clumps, no weird aftertaste. You don't have to worry about all that other stuff, right? And here's what makes Bubs truly different. The brand is a tribute to former Navy SEAL Glenn Bub Doherty, a national hero who gave his life saving Americans and Benghazi, Libya. And Glenn's call sign was Bub. And he was the kind of guy who always pushed for self-improvement and helped everyone around him. That DNA is woven into Bub's brand. And to honor him, Bub's donates 10% of all profits to charities, starting with Glenn Doherty Memorial Foundation. So if you want to get behind something that's going to give you results, that's going to do exactly what it says it's going to do, and is out here for a good cause, look no further than Bub's Naturals. All right? So live better and longer, and for a limited time only, our listeners are getting 20% off.
That's a big deal, guys. 20% off at Bubs Naturals by using code DIYS at checkout. Just head to Bubs, B-U-B-S, naturals.com and use the code DIYS and you're all set. After your purchase, they will ask when you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you over there.
Good little ad read.
Get it together.
What else we got going on today?
Oh man, we got some wild stories. So I remember we were talking briefly about your mom.
Her skull.
Her skull collection. Well, we got a kind of crazy story. We'll circle back for that. So people just won't think Pat's mom is a serial killer and hoarding.
Oh, right. Evidence. Oh yeah, that was off camera.
U.S. Army doctor returns on to Vietnamese soldier 50 years after he took it as a souvenir. That's just a wild take of a headline anywhere you read it or hear it, okay? What? In 2013, a former U.S. Army doctor named Dr. Sam Axelrad returned the preserved bones of an amputated arm to a Vietnamese veteran named, we're just going to call him Nguyen, Quang Hung. Dr. Whoa. Axelrad had amputated the soldier's arm out of medical necessity during the Vietnam War in 1966 and had kept the bones as a sort of odd memento. Nearly 50 years later, he tracked down the veteran and returned the bones, and it ended up being a kind of emotional reunion and a gesture. Because the slide thing was right there. Reconnection between former enemies. So, The title was definitely kind of misleading, but it's still.
I don't think this was wholesome at all. Think about this. This was probably mind-blowingly trippy and horrible from the Vietnamese guy, because I don't know what situation in war happens where one side's medic has to heal somebody or help somebody from the other side. I just don't understand that. That might be super super common, but. Even if that happened, there had to be some weirdness in that medical, especially if he kept the arm. That just seems like a white dude, like, yeah, I was in Nam and I dominated. You know what I mean? Like that didn't seem wholesome at all. So either the amputation was probably a horrible experience, like on some like World War, I mean, it's obviously a different war, but like how the medics in the World War II were moving all crazy. And then like him keeping it. It's not just like, hey, I remember I saved your life or whatever happened. Good to see you again. It's like, yeah, I still have your arm. You know, he wasn't planning on giving it back one day. He kept it for some weird reasons.
Yeah. That's weird, too, to just wrap up an arm. You got it wrapped up like a turkey leg from a pair, but like, I'm taking this with me.
Right.
I decided I'm taking this with me. That's weird, bro.
What do you put it in a curio or like on the wall, like a sword?
You know what happened, though? I feel like what happened was a grandkid found it, right? One of the grandkids that has been, you know, acclimated in diversity in different communities. It was like, granddad, what's this? It was like, oh, this is back in Vietnam War, man. I had to amputate this guy's arm, and I don't know. Something in me just said, keep it. And the grandkid was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yep. Because also, if the cops find that, good luck explaining that.
Right.
You'd be like, I was in this war. Why do you have an arm, though?
Yes.
There's a bunch of people. And also, it depends on how did he keep it. If it was, like, for display with the American flag and all that stuff, and it's just, like, with his other memorabilia, for sure. If it's, like, in a box or a jar hidden in the basement or something, get him up out of here.
It was just this part of the arm. And he put a flag in it, and it was a white flag. And he was just like, yeah, we showed those guys.
That's exactly the vibe. It feels like the him giving it back was like a PR stunt. Like, damn, people know about this. Now I got to give it back. Crazy.
And he made the point that she said it still had muscles and veins on it when he first kept it. Because, you know, he didn't strip it then. He didn't cut it down. And like, he probably just wrapped it up and got home, put it in a deep freezer, and kept that for a while. And
put it on ice.
That let the dog eat it. The dog got all the skin and the veins and tendons off of it. And then he's like, yeah, bones.
He was probably freaky with it, too. He probably was like, rigor mortis. America, like I don't see anything wholesome about this story. There's no way this story was wholesome beginning to end.
It's called a Jane Doe hand job because you don't know who's actually
doing it. It'll be John if it's a nigga, which is even worse for the hand job. John Doe. Yeah, I don't. And just looking at him, like, man, I don't see the whole. I think they tried to make this wholesome, but it sounds pretty horrific.
Yeah. Anyway, you look at it, it's horrific. No one should be doing that. Honestly, like that, man, that's
like Ed Gein type stuff. He probably liked cutting. There's no other reason to keep an arm. There's probably so much more memorabilia from war. Like you could just pick something up off the ground.
Bullets, shell casings, the some of the vehicles, the clothing,
photos, anything,
bro. Like that is, it's kind of wild. Yeah. Okay, that's kind of wild. That can definitely cause some trauma for kids or grandkids who stumble along it. That's wild, right? They definitely try to spin it as a PR thing, but nah, bro, that's wild. That's pretty crazy. That's
scary ass war, man. And shout out to the troops. You know, we don't want to take anything away from that, but we did for the most part lose in Vietnam. So it's kind of crazy. Like what situation? I got to look this up. Like what situations were we healing and helping the other people if the point was to get rid of them? You know, I don't know. I guess I just don't know.
I mean, you know, maybe I don't know either. Cause I always thought it was weird. Well, not weird, but you know, there's a certain level of respect when, in the medieval times after a battle, you know, both sides would let their warriors or soldiers go on the field to collect the dead for each side. You know what I mean? So they could give them a proper burial. But honestly, man, I think about this a lot, you know what I'm saying? Especially like with our veterans and even with law enforcement, man, I really feel like therapy should be mandatory for anybody in a position that has to deal with violence on a daily basis. Like, I don't see how it's not mandatory for law enforcement and for our military, bro. Like, it shouldn't be just when something crazy happens. I think that it should be like year round. I think that you should have to, like, typically they'll send a cop to therapy, or you know, suggest that they go after they've been involved with the on-duty shooting, or if they've been shot or their partner gets shot or something like that, something extreme. But it's like, bro, these are the same people that you know, chasing people in car crashes and robberies and dealing with hostage negotiations. That's not normal for the typical human being. So if you're being subjected to these type of things, I really feel like you should definitely be you know, doing the work to make sure it's not changing you mentally and emotionally. Which is also why this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. All right. As the days get shorter, it's easy to slip into that kind of darkness. You know, it gets colder, the days get shorter, it's darker longer, less time being in the daytime. If you're one of those people like myself and a lot of my friends who've moved away from your hometown and your family, especially with the way the economy is right now, it's difficult to get back home. The government shutdown just ended. So, man, we were almost stuck in Washington, D.C. when we were trying to get to Richmond, Virginia, because Richmond only had one runway open. And so an hour after we got there to Richmond, thankfully we made it out, but they shut down. They grounded all flights because they didn't have enough air traffic controllers to, like, guide people in. That same day, two planes almost collided at LAX. So it's a lot going on right now, man. And it's very easy to feel isolated. It's very easy to feel secluded and alone. This is the time this really, really starts to cook up. So I want to encourage everyone to just check on your loved ones. Check on your strong friends. Remind people that you're in their life and that they matter. Allow them to tell you the same. Just take a little courage and send that message to grab coffee or reconnect with someone that you haven't talked to in a while. A lot of times time can pass by and we feel weird sending that, hey, how are you, Texas? It's been a couple weeks or a couple months. But Trust me, man, that's when people probably need it the most. So try to reconnect with someone that you haven't talked to in a while, reaching out. And reaching out for therapy can feel that same way. It can feel difficult, but it's worth it. And it almost always leaves people wondering, why didn't I do this sooner? Okay. I know when I reconnected with my mom on a different level, and I let go a lot of the trauma that I was carrying with me through my childhood. And now the relationship that we have, I'm so grateful and so thankful for. And I really wish I would have did it sooner, not just the reconnecting with her, but also going to therapy so I could learn how to identify that trauma, heal from it, and then move past it so I could reconnect with my mom. And I'm gonna be honest with you, it wasn't easy because as a Black man, I had to deal with a lot of stereotypes or what I perceived as stereotypes coming from my community, outside of my community, with all the thoughts of Black men or men in general don't need therapy. We're not supposed to be emotional. I had to move past a lot of that before I could even really embrace therapy the way I needed to. But now that I'm here, I can't stress it enough. I really wish I had done it sooner. So don't be like me. Take advantage of it right now. Take advantage of reaching out to that person right now. Take advantage of reaching out to BetterHelp right now to find that licensed therapist. BetterHelp's therapist according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on the therapy goals. And a short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences. And their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means that they are typically getting it right the first time. But if for any reason you and your therapist just don't click the way you want to, you can change therapists at any time with no additional charge to you. All right. BetterHelp has over 30,000 therapists, and BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, having served over 5 million people globally. And it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for live sessions based on over 1.7 million client reviews. All right. This month, don't wait to reach out. Whether you're checking in on a friend or reaching out to a therapist for yourself, BetterHelp makes it easier to take the first step. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/DIYS. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DIYS.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah, BetterHelp.
Solid. Solid as a rock. We got a couple more stories, man, before we get up out of here, man. I need to get some glasses. Was I squinting that much? Come on, damn, man. I got contacts on, man. What are you doing? I do need to clean. I don't be cleaning my contacts the way I need to. I'll be honest with you guys.
How is that supposed to be, once a day or what?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, mine are supposed to be like 2-week contacts, so I should be cleaning them and taking them out every night. I really should be doing that. Butterama.
I'm gonna send you a video. This, I don't know if it was a woman or man, but she kept falling asleep with her contacts. Have you seen that? And they had to go in with the little hook, and like, she had layers and layers of old contacts on her eyes, and they just kept like peeling it back. It was like literally like a decade's worth of contacts that she just fell asleep in. And then,
I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. You know what's crazy? I was on stage Saturday night. Shout out to Sacramento. If anybody came out to Sacramento to see me, we had a phenomenal time this past weekend. Shout out to them, man, 4 shows. But as I'm finishing up my last show, I wipe my forehead because I'm sweating like crazy. I'm very animated on stage. I wipe my forehead, and the paper towel hits the eye, and the contact pops out, and I had to put the contact back in right there on stage. When I tell you, you know, anytime you do it, when you don't get a chance to wash your hand, you put that contact, it's gonna burn like a motherfucker, man.
You touching the mic and everything.
Oh, man, now it hurt like a motherfucker, man. But you know, job had to be done. We had to finish. I still had about 15 minutes, so it was a great time though. But yeah, man. I really want to look back into the LASIK, man. I feel like now maybe I can do it, because initially they told me I didn't have enough layers on my cornea, I think.
You have enough layers of what?
like, so your cornea has layers over your pupil, right? And so with laser, what they used to do, they would lift up the top layer and then they would shave off the second, third, and fourth. So what? Now your top layer is you see, but that's how they would correct your vision. But if you didn't have enough layers, what they would do was just shave off the top one. And that was supposed to correct your vision. And I just was like, nah.
That's what they do with the laser?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I didn't know what they were doing.
But mind you, this was like 2006, between 2006, 2008 when I tried to go get it. So I'm sure a lot has changed. It's plus 10 years.
I was about to say, 20 years that's about, for your eyes, that's about as long as I would wait. Anything that comes out like that, I need at least version 20. Version 15 through 20.
Yeah, Kev got laser. Kev got laser when we were working at All Depth. So he's had it for a while now.
I haven't really seen him wear glasses a lot. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because he got rid of it when we were still at All Depth. I think maybe around 2016, 2015, he got it, I want to say. Mm. So he said he hasn't had any problems. So, you know, that's a good thing. What's the next story, Hibby? What's that one? Is that about the swimmer? Oh, no. This one was crazy. I saw a 52-year-old woman from the Netherlands spent her whole life seeing people's faces morph into dragon-like creatures with dark skin, pointed ears, stretched mouths, and glowing yellow eyes due to a rare brain disorder.
He got a one-of-one disease. That sucks. Can't even go to a group for this.
He suffered from a very rare neurological condition called, y'all see it? Come on, hippie, unmute yourself so you can say it, because I ain't even.
That's not that bad. Prosopometamorphopsia. Yeah, I got a little crazy towards the end.
Sure, yeah. I just thought throwing letters in towards the end. Her symptoms weren't limited to real people either. She also saw similar dragon faces appearing from walls, electrical sockets, or computer screens, even when no human face was around. Brain imaging, MRI, revealed small lesions in a brain region involved in cognitive and visual processing. She was treated with a medication more commonly used in Alzheimer's disease, and her hallucinations reduced significantly. Didn't stop.
Damn.
Just reduced significantly.
You know that Snapchat filter that morphs your face into a dragon and then it starts blowing? That either freaked her out even more or was like, y'all see it too? You saw it too? It's like, nah, it was just a filter.
Yeah. You know what? That's the crazy part, though. You have something that's that rare and you can't even like really explain it to someone. They don't get it. Like, and because it's so rare, there probably isn't much research being done to it. They might not even known about it until the MRI, like that thing even exists. You know, right. they that name looked like they threw so many letters in because wasn't no more good names left. So they had to just create this name.
Make some shit up. Yeah. Those,
28 letters in that bitch or some shit like that. So that's the worst part about having a super rare disease. Like there's no research to lend yourself to for a service.
No, that's actually insane. And since it has to do with the brain, I could see it not even being the same. Like if five people were diagnosed with this.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably not all dragons. It's like dragons is probably specific to her. It's probably like faces or things morphing, but it has to be specific to the brain. If everybody saw dragons, that would make me even more curious about the brain. Because it's like, why would those be the same? I wonder if she had like a little dragon fetish.
You think dragons existed? Or you think people just like, especially like, Chinese dynasty, they just came up with this mythical flying fire breathing creature? Or do you think that there was actually a possibility in a timeline when dragons existed?
I don't know, because I'm like, I grew up Christian, but I also grew up like in dinosaurs. And I feel like a part of me feels like it could be both, right? So I don't see why people can be like, there was a T-Rex, there was a pterodactyl, and then dragon is where they like, you know, draw the line.
We're not supposed to believe as Christians in the Big Bang, right? but we're all supposed to ignore dinosaurs.
I love dinosaurs.
Right. We're supposed to ignore dinosaurs the way God ignored us for 400 years during slavery.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I wouldn't say he ignored us. You know, it was like a character arc. You know, sometimes some terrible shit happens.
I thought about this the other day, right? What if he wasn't ignoring us, but it was like, that's not our God? Because we got brought over here and forced to accept and adapt to Christianity. Maybe we never got saved because we weren't praying to our God, because we were stripped of all of our beliefs and our religion.
I don't know. You know what's crazy? I'm learning, like, the more I travel, that racism, it's everywhere, yeah, but it's really American, because other countries, it's not really about the race. It's about the nationality. You know what I mean? Like, there's even like countries within Asia that don't like each other because it's like, I'm Japanese, they're Chinese, you know, even though it's all Asian, you know? So I'm realizing that, you know, what America has the racism part of it because there's so many immigrants in one place. But a lot of times it's just like, people just don't like the nationality because of the reputation that comes with it. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, when I hear all of that stuff, it's you can kind of see this, as horrible as slavery is, it bringing like all like these different like ethnicities to America in the long run could be seen as a potentially good thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And it, at the time, I could see why people were like, hey, where's God at? But I don't know. If God was thinking,
where's your mans? Hmm? The one that be delivering blessings. Where's your mans?
It's a big. It was a big picture play, I think. No, I'm just...
This is always bad. It's
trying to defend.
Nah. You try to let the holiday school come in. Hey, love and peace, guys. Love and peace. Nah, man. Still bad. 400 years of just horribleness and just pillaging. Still,
yeah, man. I don't know. That's tough.
It's bad.
That's a tough one.
It is. And it's always a touchy subject. But you know, can't let history be erased and rewritten like the way some people are trying. So we not on that.
Crazy.
It is, man. It is. And you know what? I feel like that's how I was in Paris. Like, I think they're more about nationality based, and also like, if you try to speak French while you're there, I think you might receive a better welcome and have a better experience. I definitely did not have that great experience. I don't, to the point where I never need to go back. But I don't think it was just because I was Black. I think it was because I wasn't full blood Parisian. I didn't speak French. I don't say speak Paris. Goodness gracious.
I hear that. I hear that a lot.
Yeah. I think it was just that. So, you know, like, you know. Yeah, it is what it is. But ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to, you know, for this next year, take a trip at some point, but you like, yo, I gotta get these finances together. Trust and believe, you are not alone. All right. And I only say that because I know sometimes community makes it feel better that you're not alone. You're not walking this path by yourself. And with Thanksgiving coming up, that's all about gratitude, friends, family, and food. But let's be honest. Between travel costs, groceries, and early Black Friday deals, your wallet might be taking a beating and is not feeling very thankful, all right? If money is stressing, it's starting to creep in, it's a good time to think about your credit health heading into the holidays, because strong credit means less stress, not just in November, but all year long. And that's where Kickoff comes in. It's the number one credit building app in the App Store. Comes in. Kickoff helps you build credit easy and affordably, with plans starting at just $5 a month. There's no credit checks. There's no hidden fees. You don't have to worry about any of that weird stuff. Nah, man. This is about helping people get their credit back together. You get to start building credit immediately for only $1 your first month. All right, you set up auto pay so you never have to worry about missing a payment. You can sign up in minutes from your phone. Again, no credit checks, no hidden fees, no interest. All right. Now, users with credit under 600 grew an average of 84 points in their first year with on time payments. I have to stress that, guys. That's why it's better to just put that auto payment on so you don't have to worry about missing a payment. You want to have those on time payments. It's very important. Well, with transparent, affordable plans starting at just $5 a month and no hidden fees and zero interest, Kickoff helps you score big when it comes to credit. It's simple. You make on-time payments, credit bureaus see good behavior, and your credit can grow fast. With the premium or the ultimate plan, the rent reporting feature helps you build credit with the rent you already pay. Plus, only positive on-time rent payments get reported to boost your credit. So start building credit with Kickoff today. Get your first month for as little as $1. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com. That is getkickoff.com/DIYS. Again, go to getkickoff.com/DIYS today. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/DIYS to activate offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Offer subject to change. Average first year credit score impact of plus 84 points. Vantage score 3.0 between January 2023 and January 2024 for Kickoff credit account users who started with a score below 600, who paid on time, and who had no delinquencies or collections added to their credit profile during the period. Late payments may negatively impact your credit score. Individual results may vary. Build credit fast and get your first month for just $1 at getkickoff.com/DIYSD. Thanks to Kickoff for sponsoring us.
Thank you, Kickoff.
Yeah, man. Kicking it off with good time, man.
Kicking it off.
All right, we got a couple more stories and we're going to get up out of here. Yeah, man. What's this? What's it? Let's just go with that, Hippie. Let's see what that one is.
Oh, yeah.
I'll let you take this one, Pat, because this is ocean right. Stuff.
It's the ocean one. Okay, so Robert Ballard's hunt for the Titanic was just a cover. The real mission was a secret U.S. Navy search for two lost nuclear subs. After finishing early, his team used the leftover time to look for and actually discover the Titanic. So when Robert Ballard was given the go-ahead by the U.S. Navy to search for the Titanic in 1985, his primary covert mission was actually to locate and survey the wreckage of two lost nuclear submarines, the USS Thresher and the USS Scorpion. Once that part of the mission was done, he then had the time to and resources to search for the Titanic. The full details became more public in the late 2010s and into 2020. You know, first, two things. I didn't know we was losing nuclear subs like that. I could see why it was covert. Like, don't let us know that. Like, the amount of people that are just insanely incompetent in our government is pretty mind-blowing, and we're still figuring that out. Number two, budget-wise, I could see why you would. Yeah.
Good use of funds, yeah. Absolutely.
You found the nukes. That's priority.
That's a win right there.
Yeah, that's definitely priority over the Titanic. And then it's like, you got some time, you out there, look for some other stuff. It's like, we found the Titanic. Didn't know you weren't looking for it before, but... All right.
You know what's crazy to me is like I'm always amazed at submarines, like the fact that they can withstand that immense pressure underneath water, that people actually, you know, come back alive, you know, from them. The things that bother me are how slow they are, how long it takes to turn, how long it takes to halt or reverse, and the fact that you can't see. They are essentially flying blind. They only use radar. They can't see anything. The rays and telescope thing?
That's for cartoons. Huh? There's no windshield?
Bro, no. It would crack under the pressure.
Yeah, I know.
That is insane. I never thought of that. They just down there just driving with a blindfold on. That's crazy to me.
This story made me realize I don't really know what a nuclear sub is. I thought either one of two things. Either it was transporting a nuclear bomb or it shot them. Apparently, it's just using nuclear reactors to work. And that's how it's able to be submerged for months at a time and never need to surface for air. I always thought that a nuclear sub was either shooting nukes or carrying them.
That's what I saw from that story too. I saw that they had, you know, had the missiles in there, the nuclear missiles in there.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess, damn, they could really be down there for months at a time. And that's not gas, definitely. Yeah.
Nuclear power. That's crazy. And that's another thing that's scary right there, because everything can go right with the external factors. You know what I'm saying? You don't hit anything. Mm-hmm. The sub is good. No one's chasing you and firing at you. And something can go wrong internally with that nuclear engine and just wipe out everybody.
Oh, right. Because, I mean, that means that two subs worth of people died. Had to be, right? If they lost it, that means that there was a full... Or, I mean, at least the people on board.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so, man.
This was a rescue mission. I don't even want to know. I feel like we're not even ready. We always like, show us what you guys are doing. I don't think we're ready to know all the fuck-ups that are happening on that level. It's just like, man,
That's why they denied aliens for so long. We were like, we can take it. And then they tell us everything. Everybody faints at one time. It's pandemonium. Everybody's scared. It's chaotic. For the rest of y'all, yeah, man, a lot of people ain't ready to handle that truth. I feel like Black people have a disposition to handling bad news better because of upbringing, societal standings and roles, and basically just how we've been, you know, treated throughout our whole life. But I think like people who have been extremely sheltered, when they find out some dark real shit like that, I think it would fuck them up, bro.
Nah, for sure. Nah, I mean, I think I think even non-sheltered people would be fucked up by what like governments are actually doing. Because if you think about what happens around voting time, you see how blind some people are. They're just voting. They have such high hopes for leadership, and then they'd be shocked when they find out that leadership ain't shit.
Man, the secrets that must be in that book that they evidently passed down to president to president, like the Book of Secrets or some. I feel like I've seen it on movies. So I don't know if it's a real thing for real, but I feel like
Is that what it's called?
No, I don't think it's called Book of Secrets. It's just supposed to be like some book that only presidents have access to. Like the presidents get to write down, you know, the stuff that happens or the real stuff, that real accounts of stuff that happens or whatever.
That's what aged Obama. Remember when he came in looking like us like a year, 1 to 4 years later, he looked like he was 90 years old. He probably
that great came in strong. Yeah, they were stretching my boy out. They stretched him out for about a week over a tan suit,
which is crazy in retrospect that was the issues we were going through with our president. Insane.
Given the current administration, like y'all was tripping off a suit. This man is accused of being a throat goat, and y'all were tripping off a suit.
You've been giving a
boing boing to your boing boings underneath decks, and that is where I'm HGs, and y'all tripping off of a suit.
I did hear about that. Whoa,
he's been deep throating billabongs from former presidents. Y'all tripping off of us.
Hey, what if that was in the Book of Secrets? That was the last page. Like, now that you know all this, you got to blow the last president. Like, whoa. I just found out about aliens, nigga. You see the last president? You finish? Yeah. Finish the book? You ready? The oral office today. We chilling in the world. Hey, that is today's rabbit hole. I didn't even look that up since I heard that in passing and I was like, whoa, I need to unpack that later. I can't even.
That it's so much shit. I want to talk about it. I gotta go on a different podcast. I gotta go on somebody's podcast that is focused on politics and stuff like that. Cause boy. I got talking points I want to explore, but this is neither the time nor the place, because it has come to the end of this episode, ladies and gentlemen. I'm trying to think what I got coming up. If you're in the Fort Worth or Plano area, I'm going to be down there December 4th and 5th. Come check me out, man. It's going to be a good time. I'm going to have all the
information on my IG and on my Linktree. You can come hang out with me. I'm also going down to San Diego, I think, on the, like 12th or the 15th or something down there. So come rock me down there and be at the Mic Drop down in San Diego. It's going to be a good time there as well. And I might close out the year with one or two more shows. I'm definitely performing or hosting something on New Year's Eve at the Mint in L.A. It's going to be a musical event. So if you love live music and you want to do something kind of non-traditional instead of the club or lounge, you can come hang out with us, man. It's going to be a good time, good music, good food, good drinks. You know what I'm talking about? Pat, what you got going on, man? Playing a sandwich or what else?
I'm still getting my stream schedule together since being back from Japan. So join the Discord and all that stuff. A lot of Japanese videos coming out. Going to be rolling that out in the next few weeks. And aside from that, shout out to Kev on stage. Check me and Tahir out on Tubi. New show, Safe Space.
Boom. Yeah, man. A lot of stuff. Also, check out Fuse because all the content we had on the app is now on Fuse. They actually just posted a clip of my prank show tagged. It's now on Fuse as well. I got an episode with Kev. I got an episode with Pat. Oh, that episode with Pat was legendary, guys.
Called taking advantage of gullible people. That's what it's called. You know I like conspiracies. Y'all are all wrong for that.
It was so good. When I tell you, we flew to Haines, Alaska to prank Pat. It's a good time, guys. So make sure you check out all the content we got. We're currently on like 5 different networks, and we're having a great time with it, man. Very thankful for it. But as always, ladies and gentlemen, Scary Squad, One Mom, everybody that's out there watching, we appreciate you. We love you. I'm Tahir Moore.
Patrick Cloud.
And we'll see you next time on another episode of Damn Internet, You Scary. Peace, guys.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.